Good morning.
Good.
I really appreciate that song. I am very thankful for what the Lord has done for me personally and where He's brought me from. The song said, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. And I think another verse goes on to say, my family, my friends, my church, the riches of salvation's wealth, I think. I've got so much to be thankful for. So I was thinking that today. I've been thinking that we've got so much. We're so privileged. We have this congregation that we love each other. We have a place that we could come and worship together. We have people who pray for us. We are so blessed. And I'm overwhelmed this morning with thanksgiving that I have so much to be thankful for. Not only that, but what this time of the year represents, that what Jesus went through and what he came down to be with us, but then his whole plan that I was listening to a song this morning, says he chose to be my friend. He chose to do all this. He left heaven to be a man, and he chose to live here as a man, and he did that because he wanted to be my friend, and he wanted me. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm going to write the title on the board. So those of you who might have been here for Sunday school, I guess you could say we kind of had a prequel to this. And so the Lord's been challenging me with this thought. And I guess where it kind of started, you know, as a child, as a young guy, a young boy, I have a feeling probably most people have done this. Children, and even as, I'll expand this a little bit later. Children love secret places, forts, hideouts, and they can take all shapes and sizes. Sometimes you could just build a little, when you're small enough, I remember doing this as a little guy, when you're small enough, you can build a little fort in the corner of the couch out of the couch pillows, and you can sit in there and hide and get your little flashlight, and it's cozy. You think you got your little secret place. I remember we would play in it. We had a hedgerow right beside our house. It's not there anymore where Mama's at, but there used to be a hedgerow right there, and it was very, very thick. And we'd go crawling through there, and sometimes you would find where one of the hedge bushes was extra thick and it was kind of hanging over, and then there'd be a little hollow spot underneath, and you would find that, and boy, I got me a secret place. And so you'd go smugly sit in your little secret place and feel pretty high and mighty that you've got your secret place, and no one else knew about it, and you're sitting there being all secret, and then you realize later that after a little bit, it kind of gets a little boring to sit in your secret place, but at least you have it, and it's yours. You've got your own little secret place, and then you go on a hunt a lot of times for another one. There's all kinds of those kind of things happen as children. I remember doing these things. And I was wondering, I was kind of thinking about it, like, why do we love secret places? Because I was going to go ahead and tell y'all, I still have some secret places that I kind of like. This morning, we were talking in Sunday school about peace and living in peace with people. And the question was asked, how would you describe what is peace? And so I mentioned that to me, if I was to paint a picture of peace, and I wish I could also make this picture and painting have sound as well, but I think you could kind of go there with me. If I was going to explain peace in a picture, it would be probably a pond or maybe, well, if any of y'all have ever been to Black Bayou on the Tanspo River, that's probably where I would kind of place the setting. Cypress trees with cypress knees everywhere. Some Spanish moss hanging down, a little bit of mist on the water, and it's perfectly glassy smooth. no ripples, no other boats around, and hearing the frogs. Like I said, I wish you could have the sound on a painting, but you know, you can almost hear it whenever you see a picture like that. You can hear the frogs. You can hear the little sploosh every once in a while of something jumping in the water. That is peaceful to me. Very peaceful. That's a secret place, I guess you would say, that I love to go to. I don't get to go as much as I like, but going and sitting in the woods, that's a secret place for me. And even, y'all may think I'm kind of funny. Sometimes you're out doing yard work and I get caught, like in the summertime, you get caught by a thunderstorm. And so I run into the barn and I'm sitting there on the haystack in the barn waiting for the thunderstorm to go by. And it feels pretty cozy. It feels pretty, you kind of get that same feeling when you're a little child inside your little pillow fort on the couch. And I'm a grown man, but you're sitting there and thinking, well, this is kind of cool. I'm in my barn and it's raining and I've got me a cozy little place here. And I was trying to think, okay, what is it that makes a secret place so attractive to us? One thing that it is for me anyway, it was, I don't remember when it was, sometime this year, we had some people over, and y'all probably know, y'all that know me, you think that I'm always love to be around lots of people, but that may not, I may surprise you a little bit in the fact that it's not always the case. If you'll notice, sometimes during camp meeting, I might not stay in the dining hall for very long because I have to get out and just go stand somewhere quiet away from all that noise that's in the dining hall. I have to get away for a little bit and go stand quietly somewhere because it's too much. One time we had a lot of people at our house, and I went out to my secret place in the barn. We have a big bunch of square bells, so I actually climbed up on the square bells in the quiet and just sat there for a little while. There's a whole bunch of people in the house, and I was out in the barn just sitting quietly on my little haystack. And it was perfectly quiet out there. My dog was down there, and she actually climbed up with me. And so I was thinking, okay, what is a secret place? So I'm thinking all these things to me have something in common. They make you feel secure, make you feel cozy, for lack of better words. Make you feel safe. They make you feel kind of a sense of ownership. This is my little place. I control what's right here. However, sometimes we don't. Last night, I went hunting for a little bit, and I was telling the children, they're asking what I was fixing to do. I was like, well, I'm going to go hunting. I said, well, actually, it's more like I'm going thinking instead of hunting. I wanted to go hunting, but it's one of those times I just needed to go sit for a little bit and be quiet. And lo and behold, my precious dog decided to bark at something. And I'm hunting right in our woods. It's just a few, I don't know, not even 100 yards from our house. My dog decided it was time to bark the entire time I was out there. It was just constant, just a bark, bark, bark. And so I was looking forward to going out there and being peaceful and quiet and seeing the squirrels run around and hearing the birds chirp. But all I could hear was my dog just an incessant barking. It was a nonstop, and it was a pattern too. And it was just about, I wasn't having very nice thoughts towards my dog at the moment, I'll admit. And so I wasn't feeling very peaceful in my secret place. And it was disappointing because I felt like my secret place had been invaded. And it wasn't, actually, I was still sitting in my little secret place, but it wasn't cozy anymore because it was just, there was a racket and it wasn't peaceful like I wanted it to be. And I was frustrated, and then it made me start thinking, okay, what is it that makes my secret places so special? Another thing that was mentioned in Sunday school was someone else had I think someone had asked a few artists to describe peace in a picture. And one person had painted a picture similar to what I described about a peaceful scene. And another person had painted a picture, and I may get it a little bit wrong, but the essence was that someone had painted a picture of just of chaos all around, and a twig with a little nest and a little bird sitting in her nest, peaceful. There's chaos all around, and there's a little bird on a twig with a cute little nest sitting there, peaceful. Everything going on around it, but that was peace to that person. And I found that is actually a really good description as well. What I had mentioned was a good description of peace, but then a cozy little place in the middle of chaos is also peace. Andrea had mentioned about a thought she had about a song that references the 23rd Psalm and how the Lord prepares a table for us in front of our enemies. And then the song mentions about arrows flying and a battle raging, essentially. And Andrea mentioned that she saw that the Lord had helped her see that he was beckoning to come into a tent, and there's a large feast in front of her, and you could feast in that tent and be safe, but it's just a tent. So you think, okay, what is a tent going to protect from the arrows? But the Lord has this peaceful place, kind of like a nest. Is a nest really going to protect me from the chaos and a thunderstorm? And not necessarily, but it's the peace that comes with the fact that knowing, like Andrew had said, he had invited her into this place. And you could go in and then forget what all was going on around. And now it's a secret place, a peaceful place. There's a verse that has been on my mind. It's Psalm 91 and 1. Y'all pray for me. I feel the need of the Lord this morning. I want to be able to get this thought out the way the Lord has intended it. I want us to be able to be at peace. I want us to be able to find peace whenever... Well, I'll just say the world is not a peaceful place. We don't live in a peaceful location. This world that we're passing through is not peaceful. And so I like the description of the little bird sitting in its nest and chaos raging all around, but yet that little bird could have peace. I think actually I have a little book. I'd like to... There's a story. The children have it. It's about a bear, and he's actually... it's kind of humorous, but the story is where the bear is a little bit of a big baby, I guess you would say. And all the little forest animals are always taking care of this bear. He's always finding himself he's always really sad, and he finds himself in situations where he gets really, really sad, and all of his animal friends comfort him and stuff. But he has what they call his lair. And one night it was extra stormy, and the bear had lost his way. He couldn't find his way back to his home. And so he was really sad and crying or whatever. And he decided to sit by a tree, and he was just really, really sad. Well, all of his little friends, and when I say little friends, it's mice and birds and things. So it's kind of humorous, but then I think it's also a really nice picture, because you can think someone might be really strong and capable and able to handle everything, and they may not be able to. All of his little friends went out looking for him. They all had their little lanterns and everything, and they went out searching, and sure enough, one of them found him, and he was only just a few feet from his lair when they found him. And they led him back to his lair. But then the next picture is them inside this den, and there's a fire roaring. I think they may have a little bit of soup on. And they got little blankets all wrapped around them. And if you could, I think one of our children has even mentioned it before, and I was thinking it when I was reading it to him. I wish I could crawl into that book and be in that little lair, because you could see the storm still raging through the hole in his den. I wish I could crawl into that little thing, because it looked so cozy and peaceful. And it made me think of the picture of a little bird. So, all that to say this, Psalm 91 and 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So, I got to thinking about that verse, because I'd already kind of thinking about the secret places and what a secret place means to me and what it has meant for me. And then I was reading about, I read about this, and it's the Most High is inviting me to His secret place. He says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To dwell, this is what I want to read the definition of dwell, to abide as a permanent resident, or to inhabit for a time, to live in a place, to have habitation for some time or permanence. One of the definitions, I would say, of a secret place is that it's mine. And that I only let maybe a few people know about it or into it, which I just let everybody know about mine. But I may not be, I'm probably not going to be asking you to come sit on my haystack with me too often. There's probably very few of you who's ever going to be sitting, especially when I'm needing to be in my secret place. There's probably very few people who's going to be invited to come sit with me when I'm needing to be in my secret place. And I think all of you understand what I'm talking about. But God is inviting me to live in His secret place. He's asking me to come abide, come dwell in His secret place, His most precious, His most precious location that He's holding it out especially for Himself, but also every one of us. He's asking, and the amazing part about it is He has a secret place for each one of us, the secret place of the Most High. Doesn't mean we're all going to be gathered in the same little secret place and sitting around looking at each other. No, He has a secret place for each one of us to be able to go in Him. I was reading a little bit about what that secret place is. I'm like, well, what is the Lord's secret place? And the first definition I kind of came up with would be similar to what the Holy of Holies was in the tabernacle and the temple. Is God was inviting people to dwell with Him, come into His most secret place, to dwell in His tabernacle, to dwell in His presence, to be constantly in communion with Him and developing it. We talked a few Sundays ago about the bread of life and how Jesus wanted in His, I think it's called the high priestly prayer, where He wanted us, He was praying to the Father that we could be in Him as He is in the Father, and that we could be one in Him. That is what the whole desire of the Lord is that we would come and abide in His secret place, and that we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We all have a desire for something to comfort us. We all, as in a physical sense, I was doing some reading about why people like secret places, why we like cozy things. One of them was, for instance, when I see my dog all curled up in the corner in the barn on its little pile of hay, and it's raining, that looks really cozy to me. And so, and I don't want to make it sound like I subscribe to the fact that we're just animals. We're not, but we do have, you can't really argue that we do have some instinct that God places in humans as well of wanting to provide shelter and provide, that's something that's in every person. You don't have to teach a person necessarily to, hey, you need to be warm. You need to find a way to protect yourself. So that's in us to want to be safe. We want to be safe. And we see something, just like what I was talking about in that book, we see something and it triggers something inside of our brain that I want that. I want to be there. I wish I could be in that, hearing the storm raging outside, but being in that cozy little place where there's a fire burning and I can see it's warm and cozy and I got all the things that I need. We as humans, we desire that physically, but we also desire that in our hearts as well. We seek so much for a piece. And we try to create secret places in our hearts that only God can fill, but we try to fill it with all kinds of other things. Whenever I try to create comfort for my spirit, you just look at the world. Look at all the things that they fill their time with. It's 11:30. There's so much going on today in the sports world that people are trying to fill their plates full because there's so much happening right now, and it's hard for people to be still and be quiet, because then the noise that we're talking about, the storm that's all around us, that starts getting real deafening if you don't drown it out with other things. We naturally are seeking for something to give us peace and protection. And if you read further down into this chapter, I want to read, it says, "We will abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I think it's in verse 5, yes. Well, actually, let's go to, I'm just going to start reading at verse 2. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." That sounds kind of like the chaos that's happening around that little bird's nest. "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." And let's skip down to verse 7. "A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." And let's skip down. Well, let's go to 8. "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." Then verse 11, "For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And then this is the Lord talking back to us. "Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." That's a beautiful description of everything that I would want in a secret place. Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, and it says He's going to cover me with His wings. Nothing's going to touch me. 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my other side. My eyes will behold the reward of the wicked. In other words, I'm going to see the benefits of what I, the peace that I have, and we'll see that the wickedness doesn't prosper, wouldn't prosper me. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And then it says He's going to give His angels charge over me. Does that not sound like the definition, when I was talking about what a secret place does for us as a child, that spot in the bushes, the little place in a barn, makes us feel safe, secure, and cozy. All of that stuff that's in this chapter 91 in Psalms, is describing every part of the things that as a child I was seeking for, and as an adult when I am seeking to be a part, it describes every part of that. It makes me feel safe. He's going to cover me with His feathers. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid of the pestilence and the darkness, the destruction that wasteth, the forces that come, because it says 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right side. All these things won't come nigh thee. And Andrea had mentioned it in Sunday school about the tent. And I think it was Sister Amanda brought out the 23rd Psalm, how the first part sounds so idyllic. He's going to lead me beside the nice, pretty still waters with a mist coming off. And, you know, it's going to be just me and the Lord hand walking together through the daisies and whistling. And it's going to be great. But then it goes to the second half of that psalm. And this is where sometimes we can lose sight of what a secret place is. And we can lose sight of what the Lord had for us. Well, let's actually turn to Psalm 23. I know we most of us probably know it by memory, but up here I don't know it by memory. I'm going to read the whole thing. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That sounds pretty awesome. And we can sometimes think that is what my secret place should look like all the time. Just me and the Lord skipping along, and everything is peaceful and wonderful. And there's no issues. We don't have any problems. But then it changes gears a little bit. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That doesn't sound very peaceful. That doesn't sound... I think of the... I guess when I picture that, I see a really dark, gray, ugly, scraggly dead trees everywhere. Steam coming out of these mysterious looking holes. And just walking, it looks very scary. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to run terrified, screaming around with my hair on fire. No, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Then the first part of the verse 5 sounds great. It says, thou preparest a table before me. Oh, great, he's going to prepare a feast right in front of me, and I get to eat. Then you finish the verse, in the presence of mine enemies. That doesn't sound like a very nice secret place if you read that just on the surface. I get to have a big, huge feast with all the people I don't like and all the people who want to, whatever, hurt me. I get to have a meal and they all get to invade my secret place. I get to have all the people that, all the things, all the noise that bothers me, just like when I was sitting in my deer stand and I was going to have peace, and then I just had to have all kinds of noise in my deer stand instead of the peace that I wanted. But we can have, like was mentioned, a peace, kind of like that little bird's nest. I can have a feast in the presence of mine enemies, and I can sit at the table and eat this feast that's prepared for me right in the presence of all the chaos and all the things that are trying to steal my joy, trying to steal my happiness, trying to steal my relationship with the Lord. And I can sit there because I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I can sit there and enjoy that meal in the presence of all that chaos and in the presence of my enemies, in the presence of the arrows flying over my head. And I can just sit there and eat in peace, knowing that my God has full control over everything that's all around. And it's easy to say those things. It's easy to say, oh, well, we just trust the Lord then. You don't have to worry. It takes a lot of effort. Dwelling is an action. We have to choose to dwell where God is. We have to choose to crawl through the bushes to the little secret place that God has for us. Whatever... I always think of that whenever I was a little boy. I remember one specific place. And it was, you crawled through the bushes, and then there was a little spot where it kind of overhang, and it was a wonderful little secret place. But like I said, it was just it was just me. And you go sit there, and like I said, you feel kind of smart and smug for a little bit, and then it's just you sitting in your little secret place. That's what my own secret places turn out to be when I try to create something, create my own peace. When I try to manufacture the secret place that God actually wants me to come dwell in. He wants me to come dwell in the secret place of the Most High. But when I create my own little secret places, a lot of times what ends up happening, I go crawling through and I sit there and say, ha, I got it. And then you're sitting there, oh, this is God. This is not satisfying. It's boring. You get there and you realize, like, well, this is no fun without something else happening. I have found in my experience with the Lord that when I am truly able to enter into that secret place with Him, that it is just like what Andrea had mentioned. People can look at us and say, you know, that's an irrational confidence in that tent. But you think about it in a natural sense. Don't you feel safer if you go camping? Doesn't it feel safer to be inside of a super thin nylon tent than to laying out in the open? That nylon tent isn't going to protect you from anything. If something wanted to get you, it's going to get you. But something about that little nylon tent, and you're sitting there in your little cozy place, and you can have your little lantern in there, and it's nice and warm. And same thing with, you know, as a child, if I don't think I'm the only one, you had to get up in the middle of the night and it's time to get back to the bed. There's all kinds of things that are just swarming the house trying to get you until you can get in those sheets. Once you get under those cotton sheets, you're safe. Everything good, nothing can get you then. It's an irrational confidence. That's an irrational confidence we have, but it's a psychological thing that we have. We feel safe when we feel cozy like that. When we feel in our protected place, if you really stop and think about it, it's very irrational, but it's real, and it's still, I believe every one of us has probably experienced that. But the confidence that we can have in the Lord, where the arrows are flying, and let's say in Psalm 91, where it said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. That doesn't sound very peaceful. It sounds like that's a battle raging. And like I said, the world can look at that and think that's an irrational confidence in your little secret place. But it is not an irrational confidence. We are dwelling in the secret place of the one who created all of this, who created the desire in me to dwell with Him. God has always wanted us to live with Him. That's how it started. He created Adam and Eve to commune with Him daily, to be intimately connected to Him, and then sin entered the world. And then ever since then, He has been calling and reaching out to people to come back to me. Come dwell with me, and I will give you all these things. And it's been mentioned so many times, it's not like God's a vending machine where I enter His secret place and then I don't have to do anything. I don't have to all the battles will be fought for me. You can look at this and read and say, well, it says I don't have to be afraid anymore because the pestilence that walks in the darkness is not going to touch me. It's not all these things. Nothing can happen. No evil can befall me. There's no evil can happen to me now. Well, it can if I'm not actively dwelling. That's the part that we have to be very careful about is I think it's in John where he talks about being the shepherd, and we go into the fold and we can go in and out to find pasture. That's not talking about going in and out into the wild to find pasture. That's going out in and out to the place where the shepherd has provided a place for me to go in and out and find pasture. I think it was Brother Rod had brought out several years ago about the Passover, and the Israelites were safe as long as they stayed. They were supposed to cover their doorposts with the blood of the Passover lamb, and then they were supposed to stay in their home. If they walked out, they were not going to be covered. And that's how it is with us now. If we leave that secret place or we venture out of it, we cease to dwell, which, like I said, is an action word, is to abide. And abide is I have to choose to be there. If I am wandering around trying to go find all my own little secret places and fulfill myself outside of this, I will be at risk of the pestilence that walketh in darkness. I am at risk of those things because out there, those things can hurt me and those things can touch me. But we have a promise that if we will stay with him, if we will dwell, and he's inviting us into his most precious place, he's inviting us and desiring us to dwell with him, he's going to protect us. He's going to keep us safe. He's going to be that, like that little nest. He'll hold us and he'll protect us from all the stuff around us, and we can have peace. We can see the arrows flying around and be able to be at peace with our situation. I want to read something that I was able to pull from some of the commentaries and different things. It's a couple of paragraphs, so bear with me. The secret place is a permanent dwelling area where God's presence resides, not just a temporary or occasional visit. It is a place where believers can live continuously with God. This concept originates with God and is more than a physical location. It's a spiritual state of communion where one meets God in the secret places of the heart. Characterized by privacy, it is a space with no outside voices or opinions, where only God is the audience. In this place, there are no hindrances or distractions, and one's true thoughts and heart are fully revealed. It represents a hidden life of surrender marked by humility, justice, faithfulness, and obedience. Ultimately, the secret place is where the deepest part of God seeks to connect with the deepest part of an individual, desiring transparency and genuine worship. There's a lot of action there on my part of genuine worship, faith, transparency, coming to the Lord with the attitude of, Lord, I'm coming into your presence and I'm asking you, Lord, to fill me, to fulfill my desire for a secret place, fulfill my desire for a safe, cozy place that I can feel loved, I can feel held, I can feel protected. And whenever we are faced with the arrows that fly about at noonday and the pestilence, that we can then also go curl up with God and say, Lord, I need your protection. And sometimes we may have to pick up the sword and fight a little bit. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have to fight the enemy, because we will. You're going to have to fight at times as well. It's not just sitting around letting God do all the work. We have to choose to dwell there. We have to choose to be protected by God. But there is times where we will have to, and the scripture is very plain about that. We have to fight as well. We have to fight the enemy. We have to pick up the sword at times and slay some giants, slay some enemies, and slay some self. I find that's obviously the biggest enemy in my secret place. Just like last night, I was battling. I could have tuned out the noise, but myself was, I let myself get roiled up inside and start feeling anxious and frustrated, and why couldn't it have been this way, or why couldn't it? I couldn't change it. I couldn't change anything from where I was sitting. I could not change what was happening. And so I let that steal some of the peace that I could have had just by sitting there and allowing the Lord, which I did eventually. I was able to get some peace. But it took a second. It took a little bit because it was very frustrating to me. My private place, my secret place, had been invaded. And I didn't like that. And it made me frustrated. But when we're dwelling with the Lord, he is there to welcome us and say, come on in. And he's asking me to come into his most precious place and to dwell with him. One last set of scriptures. This is my desire, and I pray that this is all of our desires. Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord. That's what I want. I want to dwell in his tabernacle, in his secret place, and offer up sacrifices of joy and appreciation, that he would take the time to prepare that place for me and invite me to his precious secret place of the Most High. That's the part that just sometimes baffles my mind. We are personally, each one of us, invited to the secret place of the Most High. And then just stop for a second and try to wrap your mind around who God is and how big he is and how loving he is, and that the fact that he's inviting each one of us to dwell with him in his secret place. Y'all pray for me.